The sermon now comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 21, starting with verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garments on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So that when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we look at your truth. Help us to know the correct ways to think about you. The correct ways to direct our attention, the right ways to love you and to participate with you, so that you will be glorified as we do fulfill the purposes of our lives, knowing you, loving you, and participating with you. Thank you, God, for your truth. Bless us now with clear understanding. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As we look at the world and as we look at the culture, what does the world and the culture think is your purpose in life? We now have cable television after having moved. I don't know how great of an idea that is, but there's reasons that we have, and it's simply just to have a land phone line in the house. But we saw commercials for the first time in years last night. And the commercials are terrible. The commercials are dreadful. We saw a commercial for a Lexus, and they were advertising lust, literally saying it out loud. They were advertising lust and covetousness. They were using biblical language to show this is what they stand for, and implying this is what's good for you. As we watch movies and television, we see the idea that the culture is getting brainwashed with, that the purpose of life is even to be happy, to have everything that you want. And we look at ourselves and we say, "Well, I'm not happy. And I don't have everything that I want. Clearly, I'm doing something wrong." Well, the reality is the purpose of life isn't to pursue our own happiness or our own joy or our own comfort. But as we saw in Genesis chapter 1, the purpose of life and your purpose is actually to subdue the earth, to work, to labor, and to find our joy in our participation with Christ Jesus. So we look at the passage here. Sometimes we come to the passages that tell stories and it's difficult to know what's being portrayed or difficult to know what God would even have us take from a passage. But we look here and we see the character of Christ Jesus. And this character is perfectly consistent with the character of God that we see throughout Scripture. He creates and He rules and He has all authority and He has man in view as He does all these things and He beckons to man. And He says, come, be with me and participate with me in all that is good and lovely and perfect. And yet we have people scrambling around in this world. We have people shouting to us from every direction, if you're not happy, you must be doing something wrong. There's something else you need to buy. There's some other relationship that you need to have. Well, they're right about that. If you don't have your comfort, if you don't have your joy, if you don't have your peace, if you don't have your rest, then it's time to curl up in the arms of Christ. And that is the relationship where there is peace and rest and comfort. Now, as we look at this passage here, I'm going to call out to you for a couple of steps for you. We're going to be watching for Him. And we do that in our daily life. We'll be participating with Him as we meet with Him. And this is also daily life. You see, the world puts forward the idea, and the world is flooded with aimless distraction. Were you placed in this world to watch movies? Were you placed in this world to go to amusement parks? What were you placed here for? But to live with Him, and to labor with Him, and to do His great work. Now, our first step, remember that He is there to be found. John 21 verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested Himself again to His disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And He manifested Himself in this way. And then it goes on to give the account. It's not as if Jesus is running off or He's absent or He's light years and light years away. The truth is that He is present in the assembly, where two or more are gathered together. There He is in our midst. We have His very character described to us in the Scriptures, and He has promised us and said to us, if you will seek Me with all your heart, you will find Me. Now, this is a beautiful idea and a beautiful truth. It seems as if, though, we have that idea that we're playing a one-sided game of hide-and-go-seek. That Jesus said, okay, we're going to play hide-and-seek, and then He left. And He's not there for us to find Him. But He's close. He's near. He's present. Psalm 139, 7. The psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If you continue on there in 139, you see there's nowhere. Nowhere that you can go to escape from Him. And that wherever you are, if you actually seek Him, you do indeed find Him. Now we'll go to our next step here. He kindly displays your weakness and failure. John 21, 3 through 5, Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And that makes sense. Simon Peter, he was a fisherman. That's what he did. When Jesus called him the first time, there he was. He was fishing. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? He already knew that. He already knew that they didn't have any fish. He went ahead and displayed it for them that despite their best efforts and their labor and their work all night long, they had nothing to show for it. Do you see that in your own life? That you work and you labor and you try in different areas, and still, we find ourselves with nothing to show for it. How many times have you sat down to read the scriptures and you read the accounts of these heroes of old? You see their strength and their power and their dignity. And it's just like Jesus saying, well, that ain't you, is it? Just weakness and failure displayed again and again. But he doesn't leave us there. He never leaves us there. It's always at the place where he's there with the purpose of providing you with exactly what you need for real life. Real life with him. Real participation with him. See, he kindly points these things out to show our weakness. Now, when I say weakness, we can think of our weakness and our failure. Failure, in one point, to recognize him. It's a funny idea, and I don't completely get my head around the ways that he manifested himself. He manifested himself, he was in a place on the beach where he could yell, and it was enough that they could hear him. If we look a little further on, we could see that they could hear him. Peter could swim there. The boat wasn't that far away. And yet they didn't recognize him right away. And then there was something still just off character in his appearance that they didn't look at him and think, okay, wait. John actually had to put in there, nobody asked, who are you? So it's as if there could have been some question there. He manifests himself in different ways in here. And he does that in life. He does that for us. He speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to us through different people. He manifests himself. And the weakness and the failure that we're looking at here is a failure to recognize him. We look at our circumstances and we hate them. We look at what's going on and we can't stand it. We don't know why it's like this. The failures or the disappointments, the things that we don't have. And yet, Scripture teaches that each element, each area in your life where there's a failure, where there's a hardship, where there's a pain, he gave that to you. For a purpose. To accomplish something. To display need. Now the failure to recognize him and then the failure to accomplish what we set out to do. They went out to fish. Why did they do that? They expected to catch fish. But no. Our efforts, the things that you do, the things that you go forth to accomplish, and it doesn't get accomplished. We go forward and we think we're going to be fantastic husbands, or we think we're going to be fantastic wives, or we think we're going to be fantastic children. All the things that we would think that we're going to be able to accomplish. the fantastic works of ministry. And yet we find ourselves falling short again and again. But not left there. This is our third move. Marvel at Christ's amazing power to provide. Verse 6 of John 21. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. I'd love to understand the ways that Jesus works. I would love to understand, did he stand there and did he think, "Okay, fish, you all stay over there." And he had all these fish just ready. And then he said, "Cast it on the right side of the boat." And he's like, "Okay, it's time to go." You know, and this giant school of fish swims over and they just swim right into the net. I don't know what was going on, but I love that he did it. I love that he works this way. That he interacts and he does all these amazing things. We see here a power manifested. A power beyond you and me. A power that you can and I cannot muster or cultivate or build. We're at a loss. Without Him, we cannot accomplish our goals or our purposes. But then we see something else that happens here. In John 21, verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Peter's goal, when Peter was setting out, he went out to catch fish. He worked hard, he did his thing, it didn't happen. We're going to pause there, pull this into your application and your life and your world right now. The things you've set out to do. Where you've worked hard and nothing has happened. Where you've been given nothing and you've had no strength to fulfill your goals, your desires, or your purposes. But then we see here, Peter equipped with the strength, apparently, and I'm not a fisherman and I'm not up on my nets, but apparently this was a big deal here, that the net wasn't even torn. That the goal and the purpose, as Peter's goal and purpose was the same as Christ, that goal and purpose is accomplished by Christ's power. So back into your context. The things you've tried, the things that you've shot for, the things that have continued to fail. When it's Christ's purpose, He'll work it out. You rely on Him, you follow Him, you obey Him. He'll work it out. That's His character. So even in the midst of the sun coming up and having no fish, you can marvel and you can rejoice as you will look forward to what He will do. Now let's look at verses 7 and 8. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat." This move is continuously pursue Him. We look for Him and we go after Him. You know, and I'm sure there are different people who could make a whole sermon off of Simon Peter throwing himself out of the boat and pursuing Christ, and they would have all kinds of nifty little analogies to work in there. But we do see a great zeal in Simon Peter. I had a buddy when I was first saved, And I was always looking for God to tell me to do something fantastic or something amazing. And whatever I thought God was saying to me, boy, I would just throw myself at that as hard as I could. And I had a buddy that was always fearful of what God might tell him to do, because he didn't want to do, he was scared. He was just always scared. And we sat around and we talked for a while, and we compared each other to children, like up on steps. And if God said, I thought God said jump, I was throwing myself off those steps. I was jumping as far and as hard as I could. But my buddy, he would crouch and he would be scared and he wouldn't want to do the jump thing. I look at this and say, and both are pretty good. Both are okay. Simon Peter, yeah, he threw himself into the ocean. And then we see the other guys, they made it too. And they made it with their boats. They were all right. Some of us, sure, we throw ourselves in hard, and we fly ahead hard, and we get all wet. But these other guys, they had their boats. They plugged along. They kept working. And they got there too. The way that God works in most of us is not great, giant, flashy displays all at once. And that's good. That's really good. But He works in us through slow progress, moving us along. 4th of July this year, we were coming back from Uncle Charles's lake, and we were trying to come through Midland at just the right time to see the fireworks. And we didn't get there, and we saw some in East Liverpool, and we pulled over along the road, and we watched them, and it was fun, and it was exciting. And then 15 minutes later, it was over. And we're driving home, and we looked up, and there the moon was. I told the kids, look, man did this thing. It was flashy, and it was loud, and it was pretty, and it's all burned up, and it's over. That moon's hung there for thousands of years, and it's still there. And we went to Elwood, and we saw the fireworks. And afterwards, you know, they were loud, and they were pretty, and we're walking along, and we looked up, and there was the moon. It was still there. Slow. Steady. His work isn't always fireworks. It isn't always dramatic. It isn't always amazing. But it's constant. And it's good. And He fulfills His purposes. Now we'll look at verse 10. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. And this move is participate as He calls you to. I don't understand the way Jesus works. I don't. I don't know why He does the things He does, other than He's an artist and He likes it. He likes doing His thing. He rejoices in creation. He rejoices in His people. And He rejoices as we do the things that He has given us to do. As I thought through this and the process of even Him feeding His people, what's He even do that for? Well, He could just supernaturally sustain them. Well, you have all the nutrients as if you just ate two fish and a loaf of bread. Now go do your thing. He doesn't do that. He's not in a hurry. He didn't even have to have them catch the fish. He could have just said, hey fish, and they could all just jumped up onto His charcoal fire. He could have did that. But He didn't. He said, put your net in. They put the net in. They catch the fish. They bring it in. And then they come up and He says, bring some of the fish that you've caught. He wants us to participate. That's life. I hate fishing. I hate it. I cast the net in. I cast the line in. And I hope nothing will bite it. I don't want to handle a slimy fish. I don't want to rip a hook out of something's mouth as it's staring at me with this big ugly eyeball. Here, Jesus tells His disciples, He says, get some of them. Do the work. Participate. What's that mean for you? You're not fishermen. None of you are. All right. Sorry. My son Nate's a fisherman. None of you are professional fishermen. That's not the thing that you do. But what do you do? What is your thing? Whatever work He has given you to do, that's the work in which He will participate with you. Could He do it? Yeah. Could He do it better than you? Yeah. And yet, He says, get your fish and bring them here. He says, do your thing. And so then we see this great thing happening here. That he shows up and He displays Himself. They get together. He gives them their work. And He sits down with them. And He makes them breakfast. This is the way that He wants to have life with you. This is the abundant life He wants you to have. Through our weakness and our failures and our pains, He wants to have breakfast with you. He wants to go to work with you. Or you to come to work with Him. He wants this great life. Now as we look here, there's one other point that we're going to look at. And this other point is for you to point Him out. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And there it is. Our work and our labor, it's not just us doing our thing. But it's bringing other people along as well. That they would see Him. That they would know Him. And that they too would participate with Him. So here it is, verse 12. And this is coming up on being one of my favorite verses. I never thought that I would be able to say that. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. This deep fellowship with Christ. So, what are you for? What's your purpose in life? It's for finding Christ. For fellowshipping with Him. And knowing Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your fantastic truth. Thank You for the great ways in which You work. Thank You for the great purposes that You have for each of us. Now stir deep in our hearts that we will know You, we will love You, and we will participate with You in Your creation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm, Psalm 1.